Grace and peace are yours from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once I found a stranger lost on a hiking trail. He must have been there for a while. I'm not sure how long. He was terrified that he'd never find his way out of those woods. And I told him, "Don't worry, you're in God's hands. Do you believe in God?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Me too. Are you a Christian or Jew or Muslim?" And he said, "A Christian." And I said, "Me too. Protestant or Catholic?" He said, "Protestant." And I said, "Me too. What denomination?" And he said, "Baptist." And I said, "Me too." I should tell you now that somebody else wrote this joke, but I think it works better if I tell it first person. "Baptist, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" And he said, "Northern Baptist." And I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" And he said, "Well, Northern Conservative Baptist." And I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region?" And he said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region." And I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1912? And he said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1912. And I said, "Heretic." And I stole his compass and I pushed him off the trail and ran. That's a true story. This is not a knock on Baptists. We all look much too hard to find the things that separate us, and it would be all too easy to rewrite that joke in Lutheran terms. By most counts, there are more than 40 Lutheran denominations in the United States today. Do you really think we need all those? And I think you know that not all of us play well together. In fact, I know that some of you have Missouri Synod or even Wisconsin Synod members of your family. And I'll bet some of you avoid church talk because it's just too divisive. It's not nice. In our story today from the Gospel of Luke, we met a man named Zacchaeus. He's wealthy. He's curious about Jesus. He's short. And according to his peers, he's a sinner. So not Mount Olivet material. Because of his stature, Zacchaeus has climbed a tree to better see Jesus over the heads of the crowd. It's one of the more iconic images from the Gospels. When Jesus reaches that tree, he looks up and says, "Come down, Zacchaeus. I need to stay with you tonight." And this sets the crowd a muttering and grumbling. Jesus is staying with him? He's a sinner. Zacchaeus is not one of us. This is a common feature of Jesus' ministry. He would connect with someone that the crowd or the disciples or the Pharisees found undesirable. And some thought these interactions were disqualifying for Jesus. The real Messiah would never consort with such outsiders. No true prophet would be ignorant of their unworthiness. Jesus constantly surprised the crowds that gathered around him by dignifying and including people polite society would rather ignore or even condemn. Went the other way too, by the way. He frequently humbled polite society. Think of the Roman soldier whose servant Jesus healed. Didn't he know Rome was the occupying enemy? Or the Canaanite woman who convinced Jesus to throw her even a scrap of mercy as if she were a dog under his table. Why would he waste his time on her? Or the Samaritan woman at the well whom Jesus offered living water despite the long feud and rivalry between Jews and Samaritans. Even she was stunned that Jesus would speak with her. And now Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus is Jewish. He's not a Roman or a Canaanite or a Samaritan. He's an insider by birth, by blood, but an outcast all the same. And the crowd knows it. I think most of us would share their judgment, actually. It's his job, you see. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And while tax collectors are greatly beloved today in our society, in ancient Israel, it was a different matter. To be a tax collector then meant to collaborate with the Roman occupiers to squeeze money out of your neighbors. And whatever you could raise over what you had pledged to the Roman coffers, you got to keep as your profit and income. This is Zacchaeus's job. He is not in the running for homecoming king. But Jesus sees him all the same. We have all these divisions, all these reasons, and some of them seem pretty good for not seeing each other as people. Some we keep in place because the wisdom of the world tells us they make us safer. And some we maintain because we just enjoy them. Kick rocks, you cheeseheads. Happy fall. Some have been carved into our lives by people who profit off of them. Election year. But Jesus plows through them all. I wanted to say that he disregards them, but that's not right. He doesn't. Jesus is not some happy doofus bouncing around Galilee. He's not a golden retriever bumbling. He knows when he's talking to a Samaritan woman, and he knows that will make his disciples squirm. He knows who Zacchaeus is and the harm he has caused. Jesus sees the lines that divide us, and he intentionally crosses them. But he's not on a kumbaya mission. He's not hoping that we'll hold hands across America, and he's not going armed with an acoustic guitar. He goes with the gospel. Indeed, he goes as the gospel. He embodies it. He brings in the flesh the full power and presence of God's mercy, and it is transformative. Jesus Christ transforms these outsiders. But be careful here. He does not just make them identical to the insiders. He's not an assimilator or a conformist. Jesus changes both insiders and outsiders into something new. No longer are we righteous or sinners, rich or poor, Jew or Greek, Northern Conservative Baptists of the Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptists of the Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. We are all simply children of God, heirs of mercy and life. And with that transformation comes another, one that changes the way we live together on this side of paradise. Because to be a child of God is a transcendent identity. It transcends all these others. And so we are transformed from foreigners or rivals or enemies or mutual outsiders into neighbors. Look at what happens with Zacchaeus. Just a little time in Christ's presence, and he's pledging half his wealth to those who need it in his community and promising to repay fourfold anyone he's swindled. He no longer sees the people around him as purses to be emptied, but as neighbors, made just like him in the image of God. This is what Christ does. This is what the gospel accomplishes. It changes us, and it changes us. So as you leave this time and place of worship, whether you find yourself up in the tree or among the murmuring crowd, Jesus is with you, calling you together into a new way of living here, and a forever way of living hereafter. Amen.